The first reading is taken from Genesis chapter 17, beginning at verse 15. This can be found on page 17 of the Pew Bibles and 27 of the large print Bibles. God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make them into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. The three visitors. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 17.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. O unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth.
The first reading is taken from Genesis chapter 17, beginning at verse 15. This can be found on page 17 of the Pew Bibles and 27 of the large print Bibles. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make them into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. The three visitors. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant. who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time, next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you, Andy. So as I begin, a prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we are continuing our journey with Abraham. So it may be useful for you to have your Bibles open at the beginning of chapter 17 of Genesis and then into chapter 18. Abraham, as we know, is one of the most important characters in biblical history. He's the founding father of the Jewish people. And whilst we keep in mind that through faith in Jesus Christ, we too are children of Abraham. We are spiritual children of Abraham. And at the point of our reading this morning that Jane read so well for us, Abraham is 99 years old and Sarah is almost 90. It's been 24 years since Abraham came to Canaan. It hasn't been plain sailing for Abraham since God called him at the beginning of chapter 12 and made those awesome promises. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great." It's been a rather up and down journey of faith. Last week in chapter 15, we saw how God had once again renewed his covenant with Abraham. And God had made it clear to him that his heir would come from his own flesh, that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars, and that God would give him and his descendants a land of their own. This morning we have rejoined Abraham's story halfway through chapter 17. But quite a lot has happened in chapter 16 and the beginning of chapter 17. In chapter 16, at the grand old age of 86, Abraham had at last had a son. Pretty big news, isn't it? His son is from his own flesh and has been born to him by Hagar, Sarah's Egyptian slave. Abraham at last has a son from his own flesh, his son Ishmael. And at last, God seemed to be moving things along. Then at the beginning of chapter 7, 17, 13 years have gone by. Abraham is 99, 24 years since he came to Canaan. And God appeared to Abraham again. And God confirmed his covenant again. Abraham will be the father of many nations. God also confirmed that he will give Abraham and his descendants the whole of Canaan as their land, and God will be their God. At 99 years old, God renames Abraham, which means exalted father, and from this point onwards, Abraham becomes Abraham, which means father of many. As an outward sign of this covenant between God and Abraham and his descendants, God commands that Abraham and his male descendants must be circumcised. So this is where circumcision comes into the story. Circumcision is the outward sign, was the outward sign of belonging to God's people. So this command to Abraham that his descendants are to be circumcised is why Jewish boys are circumcised to this day. And it's also why Muslim boys are circumcised to this day, because Muslims trace their lineage back to Abraham via his son Ishmael. Ishmael, Abraham's son from Hagar the slave, is 13 years old. Ishmael is Abraham's heir, and in Abraham's eyes, the obvious way that this numerous nation is going to happen. And this is where this morning's reading picks up the story. Up to this point, it's all been about Abraham. God appears to Abraham. God's promises are for Abraham. God's covenant is with Abraham. Sarai, it seems, is just a trophy wife. But now, for the first time, the covenant involves Sarai as well. God renames Sarai. Her name is to be Sarah. Abraham and Sarah are given new names because God is beginning a new thing through them. God makes clear that the promises are for both of them, and God will bless them, and a son will come from them, and they will be the mother and father of nations, and kings of peoples will come from them. And this son that Sarah is to bear will be called Isaac. Now God reassures Abraham that he will also bless Ishmael, but it will be with Isaac that God will establish his covenant. Verse 21 of chapter 17 says, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. Very soon afterwards, at the beginning of chapter 18, Abraham is back in his tent. And this is the place that he and his household have been settled since returning from Egypt, maybe 20 years earlier. And the Lord appears to Abraham again. And it's rather an enigmatic passage, which means it's hard to say exactly what's going on here. The passage tells us that the Lord appeared to Abraham. And when he looked up, he saw three men. There's no explanation of who these men are. Now, in your Bibles, the Lord is written in capital letters, which is how the Bible renders the Hebrew name for the personal name of God. I am who I am, Yahweh or Jehovah in Old English. I am appears to Abraham, and Abraham sees three men. So somehow, these three men seem to be Lord. Who are they? Some say angels. Two of them may be the angels that later go to Sodom. Some say these three men, or see these three men, as a revelation of God, as Trinity. Throughout the passage, sometimes it says that the Lord speaks. Sometimes it says that the men speak. The Lord and these three men are somehow interchangeable, but it's hard to know exactly how. So rather than spend time chasing this white rabbit, let's focus on Abraham's response. Because Abraham's response embodies timeless principles that provide valuable lessons for us today. So Abraham is sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. He's sitting and resting because it is hot. This is siesta time. It's not the most convenient time to welcome guests with all of the work that would be involved during the heat of the day. So the first principle that we see in verse 1 is to be ready for God. God can come at any time, and that time will always be the right time, but it may not always be the most convenient time for us. In verse 2, Abraham looked up. Second principle is that God's presence can be missed unless we have eyes to see. Many people, sadly, never rise in thoughts or feelings above that low level of their own self-interests. They spend their lives with their eyes fixed on earthly things, laying up for themselves treasures on earth, which are doomed to crumble to dust. The prayerless, thoughtless, worldly-minded person cannot realize the presence of the Most High. And we should not expect to experience God unless we strive to follow Abraham's example and direct the gaze of our souls to God. We need to lift our eyes above the everyday, above the earthly distractions of our lives, not literally, but spiritually. We need to look for God in the world around us, in the people around us. And we need to expect to see him. The third principle is that we must be prepared to meet God as God comes to us. This seems to be the significance of the words, Abraham hurried to meet them. And this will take effort on our part. By neglect of prayerfulness, Bible reading, gathering as church, or lack of charity to our neighbours, spiritual idleness can cause us to remain in the shadow of our tent and thus lose the vision of God, because we will neither lift up our eyes to see nor go out to meet him. Fourth principle is the need for a right view of our position before God. Abraham fell at their feet. The attitude of Abraham in welcoming the divine presence teaches us another lesson, and that is the spiritual necessity for humility. This law of reverential humility is binding upon the human soul in relation to God, our Creator and our Lord. The self-confident, arrogant, proud person transgresses that law and inevitably loses the ability to know the presence of God. The philosopher or theoretical theologian who approaches God as if he is an object to be studied ignores the basic truths of the relationship existing between the king and his subjects. God will not reveal the light of his presence to us, however eagerly we seek it, until we have learnt to recognize our smallness, our unworthiness. And I don't mean worthlessness, because we are worth everything to God. There's a difference between worthlessness and unworthiness. We need to recognize our unworthiness before the majesty of Almighty God. Abraham was alert to the possibility of meeting with God. When God came, Abraham ran to meet him, and when he met him, he fell at God's feet. Fifth principle, Abraham was hungry for God. Abraham said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, do not pass your servant by." Recognizing our need for God causes us to be hungry for God. Our hunger for God shows our need for God. God may draw near to many, but few invite him to stay. They find his presence to be too much of an inconvenience or too much of a challenge. The blessed experience of God's abiding presence can only be known by those who, like Abraham, seek to hold on to God. How does Abraham make God welcome? Verses 4 onwards. He says, "Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 measures of the finest flour. Bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. In short, he made God welcome by inviting the men to stay, by bringing them water to wash their feet, by giving them a place to rest, by running to ask Sarah to make bread from the best flour, by hurrying to kill and prepare a choice calf. With a sense of urgency, he ran to God and gave to God the best of all he had. And then, having offered as an expression of loving welcome to God the best he had to give, Abraham waited in their presence. He simply waited on God. If we too are to experience the blessedness of God's presence, then the conditions to be fulfilled are the same now as they were thousands of years ago on the plain of Mamre. We must be hungry for God. We must be ready for God. We must be willing to run to God. We must make God welcome. We must give God the best we have to give. And then we must spend time waiting in his presence in order to enjoy the blessing of his presence. Amen.